does friendship seek him everywhere? Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That does amuse him. Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baron Adorsky's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
There's an old French saying, pas affaire de cœur, mais affaire de guerre, which means not affairs of the heart, but affairs of war. And that's how it's usually been with Tony Dewhurst and myself. Yet there was an occasion when we found ourselves cast in the roles of matchmakers, and we flatter ourselves we did it rather well. It began one day when we were resting at our beach cottage outside Dover. We were walking along the cliff when suddenly below us something attracted Tony's attention.
Something? Is there someone in the water?
Oh, sure there is. Surely Davis swimming, don't you think?
Swimming to hang that fellow's in trouble. He's turned up his arms and gone under.
He's up again now, waiting for help.
Oh, we've got to do something.
Well, there's a track down here to the beach.
Come on, then let's go.
As he raced across the sand, he flung off his coat. A quick plunge into the water. And his powerful strokes drew him quickly towards the stricken swimmer. A couple of minutes later, a limp body in his arms, he waded ashore.
Lord, thank goodness.
I better get
stuck up the
cottage, honey. Huh?
Take care,
sit down.
You wouldn't have
thought
turned the water. Put me like a tiger.
Drowning people always do. Yeah, I put my coat around her shoulder to keep her warm. That's it.
Now, listen
to me.
I'll take care.
You're just about done in.
Look, this
mud is a bit of a turtle.
You got it all right.
Yes, gather up your coat. Wrap yourself well. The sooner you're both indoors in front of a fire, the better. By the time we reached the cottage, the girl had come too. But it wasn't till our clothes had dried and she had a large bowl of hot soup, and till we brushed aside our protestations of gratitude, that we finally heard her story.
First of all, I'd like to tell you my name, my friend. It's Rosemary. Rosemary Bardot.
That's a good English name.
Where do you come from, Rosemary?
I'm fine to hear, sir. From Sandwich.
You live with your parents?
Oh, my father, sir. My mother stays in Longmere Street. Father's Jim Bardot, the fisherman.
How did you come to be in the water?
I just waded in, sir.
You mean it wasn't an accident?
No, sir.
You went in there deliberately?
Yes, sir.
To drown yourself?
Yes, sir. People with it on me, I know. I'm glad now you can't long stay.
But why? Why did you do it?
I'd rather not say.
You must tell us. Lovely young girls, those of them. How old are you, Rosemary?
Going on for 19, sir.
A lovely young girl who's going on for 19, don't try to commit suicide, unless it's for any good reason.
Oh, it was for a good enough reason, sir.
Well, do tell us, please. We may be able to help.
Well, if you must know, it were on account of Pierre.
Pierre?
Pierre Latoile, an odd foreign name. He's French.
Well, you mean the Latoiles who live in the big white house along the cliffs there?
You know them, sir.
Oh, very well, eh, Tony?
Very well.
Then you must know Pierre, too.
Yes, we know Pierre, too.
It's a small world, as they say. Please, sir, you'll not tell me anything about this, will you?
Not if you don't want us to.
Thank you.
You still haven't explained, you know.
About doing what I did to you. Well, it's because I'm in love with Pierre, you see. And you there with me.
Yes,
but... And nothing can come of it, ever.
Well, why not?
Pierre's the gentry, sir. I'm a fisherman's daughter.
Yes, but surely if you're in love with each other...
My father will have none of it, sir. Nor will Pierre.
Why not?
He's already obligated, sir.
Engaged to marry someone else, you mean?
Yes, sir. Oh, we met last evening. He told me he had a big quarrel with his father. But it were no good, and he was forbidden to see me again. After he'd gone, I cried all night. And then this morning, I went to Long Sisters. And it all seemed so hopeless.
You decided to end it, eh?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, you come along. We'll take you home now.
Oh, you don't need to bother, sir. I'm all right now, and I know my
way. Well, no bother. Besides, I want to meet your father.
You'll not tell me, sir. Please, you must.
On one condition, my dear.
What's that?
That you give us your solemn promise never to try anything so idiotic again.
Oh, I should never do it again, sir. I can see now how foolish it was.
Promise?
I promise.
Jim Bardolph seems to be a tough, durable little man, sun-tanned with a grained face like good British oak. With as much delicacy as we could, we broached the subject of Rosemary and young Lothwell. He turned on her at once angrily.
So you've been talking about that again, have you? And you're strangers, too. Say what you like.
I'm sorry, Father.
Now, you mustn't blame Rosemary, Mr. Bardolph. You see, we here. Well, we chanced upon her this morning.
And we could see she was very unhappy, so we persuaded her to tell
us. I assure you, she was most reluctant. If there's any blame, it is ours.
Well, answers maybe. But what I always say, these private affairs should stay private.
In the normal course, yes, I quite agree. But it so happens we know Pierre the Twelfth, and find the whole thing a little difficult to understand.
How do you mean?
Well, a fine young man, it is, Larbel, Monsieur.
I'm not against him personally, if that's what you get now.
Well, then why do you refuse to allow Rosemary to see him?
Because oil and water don't mix, that's why, nor never will.
What you mean?
I mean my daughter's my daughter. The gentry. No good never comes of such things. Why don't he stick to his own kind?
Because he loves me, that's why. He wouldn't marry me if he could.
Yeah, that's what they are, I'm saying. But when it comes to the point, it's a different story.
Pierre's not like that, Father.
Then why don't he marry me? Tell me that.
You know why. Because he's not allowed. Because he's already beholden to another.
No, any excuse be good enough.
I'm sure you do Pierre less than justice. So am I. Mr. Bardolph, suppose by some means Pierre's parents were persuaded to change their minds. Suppose they agreed to his marrying Rosemary.
Why talk of the impossible?
In our experience, nothing is impossible till it's proven so. You want your daughter to be happy, don't you?
Aye.
Then if they did approve the match, you'd not approve it.
Wait a minute, sir. No, I've not said that.
No, but you will say it now, won't you?
Well, if they say it's all right, and he still wants to marry her, I'm not standing her way.
Good. That's all we want to know. Come on, Tony. There we go. We'll find Pierre and his father, of course. As we made our way towards the Twelfth's home, we were, I must confess, in some little doubt. 5 years ago, at the height of the terror, when Tony and I had brought the Twelfth out of France for the safety of England, Pierre had been a boy of 16. We liked him then, admired his steadfastness. But sometimes people change as they grow up. Perhaps old Bardolph had been right about him. Then, as we neared the entrance drive, we saw him. He ran forward eagerly to meet us, and in 2 minutes we knew we'd not been wrong.
I do not, Monsieur. You must believe that from the bottom of my heart.
And you really want to marry her? It is my greatest wish.
Well, then why don't you just elope with her?
It is not possible.
Well, it's been done before.
I should have thought anything so romantic would appeal to a Frenchman.
No, no, that is popular fallacy. It is you English who are romantic.
Well, I never noticed it.
It is true, I assure you. The French are the practical ones.
First, you see, I am promised to Suzette Deschamps.
Little Suzette? Oh, so that's who you're supposed to marry?
Yes, monsieur. You remember her, lately?
Yes, indeed.
She's only a child. At least she was when she and her parents came to England.
Well, that was 4 years ago. I don't think she's grown up now.
She's almost 18, monsieur. And very lovely.
But not so lovely that you want to marry her.
One does not give his heart to fool. Suzette and I have been friends since childhood, but that is all. How do you see, Peter? There is a young Englishman, an officer of the guard, the Honorable Rollo Chaussy. And she's in love with him?
Yes, I think so.
But of course, she's an obedient daughter.
You mean she's going to do what she's told?
Yes, and apart from Suzette, if I were to elope with Rosemary, I would be disobeyed.
Oh, cut off without a penny, eh?
That is what my father has said.
Well, suppose you were. You're not afraid of work, are you?
Oh, no, but I want to work. Is it? I must admit, I have a
speak excitedly. You have heard of New South Wales?
The new colony in the South Seas?
Yes.
But a convict settlement,
isn't it? Oh, they want free men, too, to till the soil and civilize the wilderness. That is my dream. To go there with Rosemary, to have our own land and farm, to grow wheat for bread and grapes for wine.
Yeah, why don't you take her there?
Money, monsieur, for passages to buy land and tools and to build a home.
We could lend you an house.
Thank you, monsieur, but I could not speak to
her. Well, why not?
But it's too much to us. Besides, I am what I suppose you call a dutiful son. Though my father is so difficult over these times. Well, I honor and respect his citizen. I could not join this tradition.
I see. Well, the man says that unless your father can be induced to change his mind, you can never hope for this dream of yours to come true.
That is so, monsieur.
Right. Well, we must talk to him. See what we can do.
I am grateful for your interest, but it will do no good.
You will waste your breath.
I know.
Now I'm wasting a little breath now and then in a good cause. Come on, Sonny. Yeah, I was right, of course. The Schwader welcomed us as old and valued friends. But as soon as we got onto the subject of Pierre and Rosemary, his face set in stubborn, obdurate lines.
No, no, no. Absolutely and definitely a thousand times no.
But,
you and your U.S. wanted myself and my family a great marriage. At much risk to yourself, you brought us out of fear and danger. You gave us like something we had forgotten. Freedom. For the heavens sake, God.
Are you exaggerating?
No. It is true. I was grateful then, and I still am today. I would do anything you want. You know that.
Except the one thing we ask.
That, I am afraid, is impossible. I am Pierre's father. I must be the one who is allowed to decide what is best for the children.
Even fathers can be wrong sometimes.
Surely you must see, monsieur. He really loves this girl.
A mere infatuation.
We don't think so. At any rate, he doesn't love her. Yes.
But what has love to do with marriage?
Well, a great deal, I suppose.
Pierre is a good boy. He's a good girl. Love will come later.
And if it doesn't?
They are of the one world. They have known each other since they were children. There will always be mutual affection and respect. Oh, many marriages are seated on that.
So that's your final answer as well?
It is.
And the wedding to be, when?
A week from tomorrow.
So soon?
Oh, the sooner it is over, the sooner Pierre will forget his fisherman's daughter. I hope you will both do us the honor to be present.
Yes. Yes, we'll be there, all right. First meeting since the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel had smuggled his family out of France 4 years earlier. Deschamps was delighted. So was I. Not only to meet him again, but to find I had not erred in my recollection of him. He was a big man, tall, about the same build as myself, and that was important. I broached the subject of Pierre and his daughter, but only casually.
Yes, they are to be married a week from today.
Pierre and Lady Pichouge. They seemed only yesterday, but they were children.
You look forward to the marriage, monsieur?
But of course. Our families have been friends for generations. It is good to think they will now be united by even closer bonds.
And, Suzette?
Suzette?
She looks forward to it, too.
Why should she not?
Oh, I had heard rumors concerning a certain young officer of the guard.
The Hollow Sorty.
Yes, that was the name, I believe.
A boy Hollow, if there were no Pierre, Suzette could choose a good word.
But there is Pierre.
Exactly, my friend, there is Pierre. She is going to be very happy with my little Suzette.
I hope so. Later on, I might talk to her. Offer my congratulations.
Well, there she is in the Wolf Garden. Why not talk to her now?
Good idea.
I'll see you later, monsieur.
Do you like roses?
Very much.
Oh, so do I. We grew them at home in France, of course. But somehow they were not right there. They are so... so English.
And you like English things?
Oh, yes, very much.
Particularly a certain young English officer.
Oh, thank you.
I have something important to say to you.
Huh?
Now, I'm going to be absolutely frank, and I want you to be too. Promise?
Yes, no, thank you.
Good. Now, you're to marry Pierre Latoile a week from today.
Yes.
You want to marry
him? Well,
you promise to be frank?
No. No, monsieur, I do not.
You know, of course, that Pierre is in love with a girl named Rosemary Bardot.
Yes.
And you are in love with Rollo Seton.
Oh, monsieur.
Please, Suzette.
Yes, I am.
And is he in love with you?
I do not know.
Well, you mean he's not the Pierre himself?
No, never.
But you think he is?
I dare to hope, monsieur.
Good. Then, if Pierre were to marry Rosemary, you would be able to marry Rollo.
But it isn't obsessive.
I have a plan, but its success depends very largely on yourself. On the degree to which you're willing to cooperate.
I will do anything at all.
You really mean that?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, first of all, who's making your wedding dress?
The dressmaker in the village. Her name is Adelaide.
You know her well?
Yes, monsieur.
She is trustworthy. I mean, can you rely on her discretion?
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure.
Good. Well, I want you to go to her today, and you'll tell her to make an exact duplicate of the dress,
yes,
including the veil. I take it there is to be a veil?
Yes, a thin one.
Ah, then I tell her you've changed your mind. Tell her you want a thick one.
What, monsieur?
Very thick. There were many things to be done during the next week. Rosemary's ears to be allayed, and her cooperation engaged. Andrew Fuchs had to be summoned from London, as Tony was otherwise engaged. At last, the day of the wedding came. Ceremony was to be at 4:00. At 3:30, a carriage containing Deschamps and Suzette left for the church. When suddenly, as the coach rounded a bend...
Hey, you there! Stop! What has happened?
Marked my way, then, sir.
I said there'll be no crew, Doctor. We prefer to be known as gentlemen of the road.
Sorry, Your Honor. I'm sure.
Yes, you'll be a lot sorrier than pitfall chances to go
off. Don't shoot, sir. Please don't shoot. I've got a wife and 4 children, sir.
What is the meaning of this?
Here you and a young lady just step down. You'll know very soon.
But this is an outrage.
My father, we must do everything.
What? Oh, yes. Yes, I suppose so.
Keep down, that coachman.
I know he's been bored daylight monsters.
Young lady.
Thank you, monsieur.
You better come along too, Kate.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir. A wife and 4 kids, sir.
So is the 4.
2 minutes later, in a hut hidden among the trees, Deschamps listened, open-mouthed with surprise, as a certain proposal was put to him.
Monsieur Deschamps, you will be good enough to remove your outer garment.
What?
You heard me, sir.
This is absurd. I will, please.
I would remind you, monsieur, that this pistol is loose.
Please, do not your soul, please.
With all right, then. But only under protest, about you. Under this, very earnest protest.
In the next few minutes, quite a number of personalities and garments were changed. Then finally, we're in the carriage on our way. Suzette in her wedding dress, Rosemary in the duplicate wedding dress, with 2 very thick veils over their heads, and I in the somewhat unusual role of a proud father.
I'm Jackie, how can you hope to succeed? Even if fear against the deception, what of his father?
Have no fear. We are not without our resources, mademoiselle.
And what is losing them?
At this precise moment, a carriage containing none other than the Honorable Rollo Sturgis, who I venture to think will not be entirely unwelcome at this moment, should not be more than half a mile behind us. He, too, you see, has a rendezvous at the church today. Now, that leaves one other carriage to arrive, the one containing Pierre and his wife.
But, Sir Percy, I do not understand.
You will, my dear. You will. The bride was 10 minutes late, but that, of course, is a traditional privilege of bride. And one of the bridegrooms was even later, because at that precise moment, only a mile away from the church, Latoile's carriage, by a strange coincidence, had suffered a similar fate at the hands of abominable highwaymen.
Monsieur Latoile, I was good enough to remove your other garments.
What? You heard me, sir. What? This is absurd. I refuse.
I would remind you, monsieur, this pistol is loaded.
Please do as you're told. Please.
Well, all right, then. But only under protest, mind you. Under this very firmest protest.
Meanwhile, I was trying to calm an exceedingly agitated tongue when, thank heavens, Pierre and his new father arrived.
Good man. I never believed it possible, despite what they told me. But here you are.
My dearest.
Here comes there, because of times are waiting.
This is the young lady. Very charming.
Oh,
there,
there.
I'm saying later. Oh, Mary, you know, it's most irregular. You should not be leaving to the actual ceremony, you know. And what's more, you're over 10 minutes late. Now, do you
want to just a moment?
Who am I, sir? Is it the father of this young lady, of course? I can't be bothered with you now, sir. I have a ceremony to perform.
Oh, yes, it is concerning the ceremony. I must talk to you in private. If you please.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Very well. Very small.
It's good of a matter, my dear fellow, which there has been a slight mistake. In fact, to put it simply, the two people you are here to marry want to be married, but two different people.
What?
It is perfectly simple, my dear fellow. As far as you are concerned, it is only to your advantage.
Really, I do not understand.
It is very, very simple. You see, it is two weddings instead of one. It is an old French custom to have a little surprise in the affair. Both the bride and the groom are to be married, but not to each other.
It is maybe a French custom, sir, but in England it is quite impossible.
Allow me to correct you, for both possible and profitable. Little more friends.
Yes, my dear, Deschamps?
That bag of gold. No, let me. Not you're ready for a double wedding, that will be a double seat.
Oh, I do begin to see your point.
And so, a few minutes later, down the aisle walked bride and groom, and groom and bride. I had the privilege of giving away my daughter, Suzette, and Fuchs did the honors for Rosemary. As for Pierre's father, but just at that moment, the door of the church was flung open, revealing the two real fathers.
Stop!
Good Lord, thank you. That's all. Stop, dear Lincoln. I am the bride's father.
I am the father of the groom.
I really don't care who you are. The wedding has taken place, and you are in church, and you are in your undergarments. Now, please, get out. Champagne can help in these situations, particularly when dealing with Frenchmen.
I give you a toast to the happy pair.
My, echo that toast, please. It is terrible. They are married and they are not married.
Married and not married? What do you mean?
Mr. Deschamps is perfectly right. The parents' consent has not yet been given.
Then they are not married.
Oh, yes, they are married, too. In our family for 400 years, we have always been married or unmarried. Something must be done.
Oui, but what?
Oh, that's perfectly simple. Just sign these documents.
But I am not quite sure.
There will be another fee, of course.
Oh, well, in that case, it is quite simple.
May I give you another toast? To those without whom this would not be such a happy day. The friends of freedom. The League of the Spanish Sinfonel.
Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Gorse. Produced by Harry Allen Carr.